Hi, good afternoon, everybody. This is Jim Coyle, and due to recent events, obviously the restaurant industry has been really affected and changed in a very significant way. And whenever I'm seeking to speak to someone about restaurant trends, my friend Brett Trucy is one of the first people I call. So, hi, Brett. Thanks for joining me for this brief interview.
Hi, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, Brett. So kicking right into it, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic is really often compared to 9/11, and it has similarities to the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009. But I'd like you to give us some context about those two very significant events because they had a lot of effect on the restaurant industry. Tell us what happened to the restaurant industry after 9/11 and maybe after the Great Recession that changed permanently so that people can have a little bit of context.
Right. Well, I think what is important to note for all these events is that they are driven by fear, real fear, and it changes people's behavior. And certainly 9/11 more so than the financial crisis, but things just ground to a halt almost immediately. And what was different about 9/11 to COVID is that we could get together in 9/11 and commiserate, and people would go to bars and restaurants and talk about how they're feeling, and that's what that makes this so much more distressing in a way, that everyone's kind of apart. I think it's really driven by a lack of optimism, and business falls away, and it just certainly feels very bleak, like it's not going to come back. And you know, we all have to have faith that it is going to slowly come back.
So let me ask you this specifically, you know, on the day after 9/11, do you feel like restaurateurs and restaurant people were more or less bleak than maybe they feel now? To me, it feels very similar in the sense that it's a dark time right now, May 3rd of 2020.
Right. I would say that this is starting to feel, you know, the violent nature of 9/11 made it a more visceral thing. Where here we're fighting something that we can't see, but basically, you know, the individual worries about, you know, how is my family healthy? Is my family going to have money to go forward? Is my business going to survive? Is kind of the same.
Right, that's a really good answer. I want to circle back to your thought about people getting back together later. I have a question about that later, but. I think what business people I talk to in every industry really struggle with COVID-19 was the instantaneous shutdown of businesses. They were literally open one day and closed the next day. A lot of businesses are able to kind of chart their story. In what ways, Brett, is it very unique for a restaurant? What unique challenges do they face when they are closed instantaneously on day one? Tell us something that maybe the public might not know.
Well, a hotel room or a cruise ship berth, what is gone forever. If a person owned a wine store or any other kind of a clothing store, that product is sitting on the shelf that could be sold in the future. Now, it may age out, it may expire, certain things may happen, but in the restaurant business, it's gone immediately, and the trickle down has been tremendous. It affects the people who sell food and wine. It affects the employees, obviously. It affects the landlord. It affects the laundry guy. It affects the guy who takes away the grease. It was just something immediate, and really, it becomes a push and shove for a restaurateur to balance out self-preservation versus taking care of the partners and employees that they and vendors that they slug it out with every day.
Right, and when you close one of the restaurants, they don't have any inventory or anything they can sell off. So essentially, they're pretty much assetless the day that they stop. Is that true?
Well, now people are trying to sell off their wine inventories, and then they changed the laws so that people could sell beverages to go. But those are all stopgaps, you can read until you're blue in the face that restaurants operate on very thin margins. But a restaurant that was making $30,000 in a night on a Saturday night, might have had expenses of 28,000 or 29,000. So there's no built-in, there's really no built-in fat or cash flow, to accompany such a quick stop.
Right.
And business interruption insurance doesn't cover this. And we'll talk, I think, a little bit more, but landlords have been very variable in their approach to this. And governments have been more understanding than I may have expected. They've suspended tax payments and tried to do things, but that's all going to come back. The states are going to need that money, or they're going to have to lay off teachers or firemen or police, or not clean the streets, and that's not a happy scenario by any stretch.
That's true. Yeah, and the landlord part of it's actually quite complex, as we know. Well, the sudden stop obviously is terrible. The good news is, or in quotes, good news is that some of the restaurants are indeed reopening. As of last weekend, we've seen pockets of places opening. But when I talk to my clients, Brett, about, in the full service restaurants, almost everybody's saying they're taking a wait and see approach towards reopening. For many, it's better economics to not reopen to a half occupancy dining room. And for others, I hear a lot of restaurateurs saying they just don't know that they can do what they do or have a good experience if customers aren't feeling safe. Instead of thinking about trying to predict the future, thinking back through 9/11 and the Great Recession, what are some of the positive things you would see economically, maybe outside of restaurants, that would tell you that maybe we're back on track for good?
Well, I think that when people need to feel safe, like I said, and they need to trust, and right now, here in New York, we're not there yet, and people who have ridden the subway thousands and thousands of times I myself wouldn't get on the subway, and I was always a very big advocate. So I see when that starts to come back and people are a little less reticent on the sidewalk, we may reach a tipping point. Again, this weekend, as the weather was great here in New York, and people went out. And so in a way, you could look at that as unsafe, but in a way, it's kind of a catch-22, because that's also the confidence that it's going to take to get things restarted. And I think the suggestion or the plan that New York is starting to put into place to close down some streets to vehicular traffic and allow pedestrians, and hopefully to do that in places where restaurants can spill their sidewalk cafes into the street when we're back open, are positive things. Certainly, the return of business travel and hotels getting back open is all going to lead to that. I mean, there are certain restaurants, there are whole neighborhoods of restaurants that are hard to really get open without the theater. I mean, if you're located on 46th Street between 8th and 9th Avenue, to open before the theaters get going is really not worth your time.
Understood. Yeah, that's a really interesting point about how they're tied to microeconomies, restaurants, especially in cities where they are tied to things like the theater.
Right.
When restaurants again, thinking maybe in COVID or not COVID, you know, when restaurants reopen, there are some tried and true do's and don'ts. I listened to Kevin Johnson speak of Starbucks, and they are really working on three very important themes and sticking to them. One of them is trust and safety as kind of an interchangeable term, then familiar and convenient, which I thought was interesting because that's they're trying to get everybody focused on those things and that people need to trust you, they'll want to be familiar with you, and obviously your service will need to be convenient. So when restaurants start to reopen, just in your mind, what are some, you know, key do's and don'ts? You've opened a lot of restaurants and reopened some and opened some from scratch. What from your playbook, if a restaurateur is going to open soon, what are some of the key things that they should or shouldn't do?
I think I've been using the word trust quite a bit myself, and I think restaurateurs have to remember that and have to remember hospitality. And hospitality at its best is welcoming someone into your home and welcoming someone into your world. And one thing that you'll hear from New Yorkers during incidents like this is that people act more civilly towards each other and people are less afraid to be vulnerable. And I think that's an important quality when reopening, to be honest with the staff and to be honest with your guests and communicate very, very well. And I think guests innately, particularly during times like this, understand that a restaurateur is struggling to keep their business open, is struggling with the true balance, keeping the employees safe and keeping the guests safe, and to be commercially viable while removing seats or whatever the case is. And I think that can be communicated. I think you know, a sign on the front door that explains some of this or on the website is important, and guests appreciate that and want to respect it. And certainly that extends even more to the employees, where, you know, training and discussions of how guests will view the restaurants and how guests want to deal with that, with that trade-off that they're making of feeling safe but going to a public space and trying to relax. That's why people go to restaurants and don't just stay home and cook for themselves. They want to go and feel safe and enjoy themselves in a different spot. So I think communication and hospitality and trust is very important, and I think we all get emails and see commercials on TV where companies that we respect and don't respect tell us that their biggest interest is our health and safety. And some of those people, I believe, and some of those people, I think, is a carefully crafted use of a pre-bought television slot that they have to use, and they think this is the most advantageous way to use it. And I know that's a little bit cynical, but that's how I feel about it.
Right. So it sounds like, authenticity is really central to how you're messaging and how you're dealing with it. And that's always the good news, right, for restaurateurs, because, you know, the vast majority of restaurateurs really care about their guests. They care about customer service. It's not just putting meals on a table. So I think that really bodes well for the industry, because I think most restaurateurs out there and the people serving, bartenders, really care about that and will really fully be behind it. So I think that's that strikes an optimistic note for me, as you said, compared to other businesses.
Right. And so I think, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead, Chris.
No, I think it's a real opportunity. It's a restart for any business, and again, it's under incredibly stressful circumstances, but it's a time to evaluate a business and fix some, address some issues that maybe you've been wanting to address in the past. I think the staff One of the silver linings of them getting scared is that, you know, their performance might increase, or their loyalty to their business, they'll understand what they have, and to put a new spin on things, or it's just a chance to restart. And I think all of us are sitting home thinking about how we can restart our individual lives, and that certainly certainly applies to restaurants.
Yeah, so that's, I'm glad you brought up that point, because the one person or type of person I've been thinking about is, you know, the recent culinary graduate or someone who's been in the industry for a couple of years now, is just starting to make their way, and, you know, their careers have been put on a literal pause. What would you tell someone who's just starting to get into the business and starting to make their way at a time when the future is very unclear?
Well, I think, again, like the restaurateur, communication is super important. And I think that any young employee in any business should be doing their utmost to make sure that their boss knows that they are willing to help the business and that they understand the long-term implications and the stress that their bosses are under, and what they're willing to do and not do to support that business. There are plenty of servers out there that used to be pastry cooks. And, you know, to say to their boss or the owner of a restaurant, hey, remember, I used to be a pastry cook at this previous job that I had. If you need some help in that area, I'd be happy to help you. And there are plenty of pastry cooks who used to be servers who could do the opposite. So I think to make yourself very, very available to your employer and very flexible is certainly something that's very important.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Brett. Well, I think we'll wrap up on that note. Brett, thanks so much for taking some time. And to anyone listening, we hope that you learned some insights and found some value in our discussion today. Thank you so much.
Well, it was certainly a pleasure. Thanks, Jim.